Well, good morning. My name is Nathan Pilot. I'm the pastor here. I'm so glad to speak the word of God to you this morning. We're in a series called Money Problems. Money Problems. And we've been there. This is a 6 weeks long series. And it's a series helping us to really come and be humble about who we are as Christians and to say, listen, we're not going to be prideful and say we've got it all together. We're just going to confess. Sometimes we struggle, and in particular with money, we struggle. The topic we want to talk about this morning is greed. And I was thinking about this one being a little different than some of the other ones we've tackled. You know, last week we talked about debt and how that's a money problem. And I was thinking, you know, after the service, I'm thinking it wouldn't have been uncommon for someone around here to go, you know what, I really do have a problem with debt, you know, and I don't like it. I want to be freed from it. I've got this many $1,000s from school loans and this many thousand from a car loan and this many thousand from whatever else. And yeah, I really want to be free. It'd be great. You know, year of Jubilee. Here we come. Let's be free from debt. But I would guess that in our natural state, we wouldn't leave this service and go, yeah, I'm a greedy son of a gun. You know, I just struggle with greed. I want to be free. Now, most of us wouldn't do that. When we think of greed, we get these images, these terrible images of our head, like of Scrooge from the Christmas story, you know, huddled in his office with a scowl on his face and keeping everything for himself. And even though his employee is suffering with his little family there in a bad part of the city, he doesn't care about anyone. We don't like to think of ourselves as people who have greed. In fact, we use the word greedy as an epithet to throw at each other. Oh, you're so greedy. You know, we hate greed. And I think we hate greed because God hates greed. And we'll see that in the scripture as we look through this morning. Let's just begin, though, as we think about what greed is, and just give a definition to it that we can all be on the same page. Greed is an excessive desire to acquire or possess more than one needs, especially with respect to material wealth. You might say, what's an excessive desire? I mean, hey, I like good things like the next guy, and I like to provide great things for my family, and just like anybody else. What do you mean when you say excessive? I don't really think I'm a greedy person. And we tend to justify ourselves. But, you know, I met a guy recently who told me unashamedly that he was once a greedy person. This is my friend Dave. I met him in Denver, Colorado a few weeks ago. Dave was unashamedly greedy. This is before he was a believer in Jesus. Dave went into business, and at 25 years of age, just back in the 90s, was making $100,000 a year. And by the time he was 35 years of age, he was making $300,000 a year and just was driven, he said. And he was so driven that his companies loved him, and they kept sending him on vacations all over the world for bonus trips and excitement. And this is a picture of Dave and his wife on top of the world on one of those trips. You know, nothing could stop him. He had everything he wanted, a beautiful wife, a family, he had a couple of girls beginning to grow, just really wealthy and in esteem of everyone. He was quite successful, he thought. And this was kind of the motivation of Dave's heart. I don't know if you can read the words up on the screen there, but it basically says, the future of my family depends on my ability to stay focused. You know, driven, focused to get more. Stay focused on what? Stay focused on his 6,000 square foot house in the mountains outside of Denver. Stay focused on tropical vacations with his family. The future of my family depends on staying focused. Now, Dave had a problem with debt. And we often think, you know, I'm not like that. You know, I may be someone who's a little greedy, but I'm not like this guy. I mean, this is the typical, you can't quite see it because it's dark, but this is Dave in his fitness room of his 6,000 square foot house. And he's standing there with his arms out like this saying, hey, check it out. Check it all that I've provided for my family. Check out how awesome it is. And he said that was the essence of his pride. He was providing such a nice life. And we want to say, hey, I may be a little bit greedy, but I'm not like that guy. And this morning, my role is not to convince you myself with my own words that you're greedy people. I want the Scripture to convince you of that. And then I want the Scripture to show you how you can be freed from this kind of greed. The first thing I want you to see in the Scripture this morning is that greed sneaks up on us. Greed sneaks up on us. Maybe you've noticed this, that oftentimes we think we don't have a problem with something, and we even talk about how we don't have a problem with something, and then all of a sudden, when we least expect it, we realize, oh no, we actually have a problem with something. It sneaks up on us and grabs us. Well, Jesus speaks about this in the Scriptures. This is Luke 12:15. Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them this parable. So Jesus is warning the people, watch out, be on your guard, because he knows that greed sneaks up on people. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. It's a part of your own hearts to want to be greedy, and it's a part of the culture around you. Be on guard against it. And then he told this parable. You guys may remember the parable from our parable series that we did last summer, but this was the guy who was a farmer, and he had a bumper crop. Remember? And he had so much they didn't have room to put it in all of his silos and barns, and so he tore down his old barns. He built bigger barns so that he could stuff all of his grain in it. And once he got all his grain stuffed into all his new bigger barns, he sat back and said, ah, check it out. My family is secure forever. Nothing can ever touch me. And the Scripture says, and he said, let's eat, drink, and be merry, because all of life is good. He was greedy, trusting in those possessions so that he could store up everything, and no one in his family would be hurt, and he would never be hurt. And then the Scripture says, and God said to the man, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. So he saved up all those things, and for what? For nothing. And we're tempted to say, you know what, I'm not like that guy Dave, you know, prideful about his all his stuff. I'm not like this guy either. I mean, I've never torn down barns and built bigger ones to store stuff in. But I wonder this. Let me just ask you this question. When you have a windfall of money come your way, happens every once in a while to most of us, maybe once or twice in your life. When you have a windfall, maybe it's an inheritance from a family member, maybe it's an unexpected bonus at work, or maybe it's just you find an old wallet in the closet and it has an old $20 bill wrinkled up inside of it. What is the first thought of your heart about what you're going to do with that money that you get, that you're surprised by? For some of you, it's, spend it, baby! I want something new. I've been looking at that magazine. That's going to make me happy. And now, look at this. This money is here. I can go to it. Spend it. Others of you, maybe a little more boring fuddy-duddies like me, I get a windfall cash like that and I think, save it! put it in the bank, you know what? Because the more I can save, here's your pastor's confession of my heart. The more I can save, the more secure I am. The less anything can touch me, you know, if I have an unexpected expense. Now, it's not wrong to spend a little money, and it's not wrong to save a little money. In fact, the Scripture tells us to do both in different places. But what we're talking about is the inclination of our heart that says, that's the thing that's really going to make me happy. That's the thing that's really going to make me secure, is this money. And so I would say, if you answered any of those questions, there may be greed in your hearts. You know, none of us thought, the first thing I do when I get that windfall is pray. The Lord has blessed me. What should I do with these extra resources? Should I give it away to somebody else who's in need? Should I take care of this project for my neighbor who's been struggling with something? What should I do? Should I give it away to help somebody in Africa? No, we don't think that way initially. And that's because we have greed in our own hearts who want to provide for our own selves first and not think of others. So we need to watch out because greed sneaks up on us. Second thing, though, sorry, my slide's a little tweaked here, is that greed is an I problem. greed is an I problem. You say, what do you mean that it's an I problem? Well, I think greed has always started at the place where we as human beings look at something and we go, ooh, something shiny. I mean, Adam and Eve in the garden. Ooh, shiny red apple. Here, Adam, let's eat this. Ooh, shiny red car. That would be great to have. I'd be so happy. Ooh, a great big house with a shiny red door. Ooh, great. Wouldn't that be neat? You know, we see with our eyes and then our wanter starts. We see the toy in the magazine. We see the new ATV vehicle. Wouldn't that be cool to be hopping over the dunes on the beach this summer? You know, we see things with our eyes and then we begin to want those things and think that those are the things that are going to make us happy. And Jesus speaks this way about our eyes. First of all, this is a passage we've looked at before in this series. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Then he says, listen to this. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And Jesus goes on to say in this passage, man cannot serve both God and money. So it's what we're inclined to with our eyes to take and to make us happy and to set up a sense of security for ourselves that is the greed that is within us. And that's why the scripture tells us we ought to walk by faith and not by sight. Not just pursue what we see with our eyes, but go by what the Word of God tells us is true for all of eternity. Greed is not only an eye problem, but greed is a heart problem. It's not just the shiny things that are problems. I mean, the shiny thing in itself is beautiful, and it's not bad to have shiny things. It's what our heart wants is that's the problem. It's not the money, the green cash in your wallet that's the problem. It's your love of the money that's the problem. When you idolize anything over and above God, when you think something else is going to make you happy, when you think something else is going to make you secure, that's when you've created an idol in your heart and you've gone against the God who wants to be your all in all. Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 22 says this. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. From within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. So in other words, it's not the actual act that is the problem. It's our heart that desires the act. And then we perpetrate it. We've already sinned in our hearts. And Jesus talks about that again and again in the Gospels. You know, you've heard it said, don't murder. But I say, if you hate your brother in your heart, you've already committed murder. Don't commit adultery. You've heard it said, well, but you've already committed adultery in your heart. You've already sinned. Jesus shoots to the heart again and again. And that's where we've got to shoot to when it comes to greed. You see, because what often happens is we want to look at externals. I'm not that greedy. You see, I don't have that nice a car, that nice a house. I don't have that nice a clothes. And we often want to put on a facade, sometimes even for other people, to make us ourselves appear simple in the eyes of other people. Again, Jesus talks about this. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. Do you ever find yourself wanting to dress in a different way so other people will think you are simple? Wanting to dress or say things in a certain way so that people think you're simple? Talk about money and possessions in a way so other people think you're simple, when really you know the inclination of your heart is to love those things more than you love God. See, we've got to repent. We've got to repent of this greed problem, because greed ultimately gives us a wrath problem. The scripture is pretty clear about God hating greed. Just like we don't like greed, we think of Scrooge and we think, ah, he's terrible, and we see a greedy person in this life, we're like, ah, we hate greed, we don't even want to be called greedy ourselves. Well, God hates it, and I think the reason we hate it is because we have the image of God in us. But God says it this way, but among you, There must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed. Because these are improper for God's holy people, nor should there be obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. We don't like to talk about wrath so much in our world. We like to talk about God as a loving and forgiving God, and He is indeed that. But God is wrathful towards sin. Make no mistake. God is not okay with sin continuing to go on unconfessed, unrepented of. There is a real live lake of fire, a real live judgment that's coming on those who are disobedient. And sometimes we think as believers, oh, we're all delivered from that, and we are if our trust is in Christ. But if we continue to show ourselves as idolaters and not lovers of the one true God, we cannot continue to stand on our hope of eternal life. If greed is consuming you, God is not consuming you, and you have no hope of eternal life, but only a fearful expectation of wrath. The Scripture is clear about that. And I don't say that to scare you myself. That's the Word of God. It's the truth. And so we want to be free. We need to be free from greed. See, the problem is it's chaining up a lot of people in our world. And I don't think the church is exempt from this. I mean, particularly for us living here in suburban America, it's a huge temptation. It's what the majority of the world is living their lives, and it is the highest good. Go for it. Get all you can get out of this life. And greed chains us, and it sneaks up on us. And we have eye problems and heart problems, and we know the wrath of God is coming against it. So we need to be free. We need to be set free from these chains who are holding us. So how are we set free from greed? As Scripture tells us, if you can't read that on the screen, you can open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to look at verses 1 through 10 there. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10 gives us a prescription really for holiness, for holy living. What is the process by which a person is sanctified or made new, made holy by God? How do we get rid of sin? How can we be freed from greed? You can be freed from greed by looking at Colossians chapter 3. Let's read together. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. What does the Scripture tell us there about how to be freed from greed? First of all, remember the promises of the gospel. Remember the promises of the gospel. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Verse 3, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Those are the precious promises of the gospel. Jesus died for your sins and rose again, so that when you put your faith in Him, you also die spiritually to the old person you were, who once walked in sinful ways, and you raise again to a new life, living in Christ and the power of His Spirit to be freed from sin. And ultimately, when Christ appears, you will appear with Him in glory, speaking of the eternal life you have waiting for you. You say, now, how does focusing on the gospel, remembering the promises of the gospel, help me to be freed from greed? Well, it helps me to be free from greed just like the message of the song, I'd rather have Jesus than all of these things. Jesus is better by far. When we compare the hope that we have in Christ to the shiny red car and the house with the shiny red door, we say, it's all passing away. It's nothing compared to the hope that I have, that I am already seated in the heavenly realm spiritually with Christ. I have Christ, the Creator of all things, as my possession, as my friend, as my eternal hope. I say, it's better by far to have Jesus than to have all the things of this life. So we're freed by remembering the gospel. We're freed, secondly, by setting our hearts and minds on things above. We've got to tell ourselves all the time what's true and what's not true. We are to set our hearts and minds on Christ, on His greatness. We're to remember who He is and what He's done for us. We're to press on every day, remembering who we are in Christ and who we're not, the person that we used to be. We're to tell ourselves each day, Nathan, you are no longer a person of greed. You've been changed by Jesus, and now you're a person of generosity. Nathan, Jesus is better by far. Pursue Him. You don't want this short-lived happiness that the things of this life are telling us that you can have. And we set our hearts and minds on better things rather than on the things of this earth. Thirdly, we put greed to death. We put it to death. How do we do that? The Scripture says in verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming, and you used to walk in these ways. So in other words, we're to be vicious about getting rid of these sin areas in our lives that compete with our love for the one true God. How do we do that? The Scripture tells us. We come again and again to the gospel and we confess our sins to God. The Scripture says, confess your sin to God, and He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you have greed in your heart, don't boast about it or deny the truth, the Scripture says, but confess it. Confess it to other people, but most importantly, confess it to God and let Him cleanse you. Be honest with God about what's going on in your life. Confess it so that you might be free. Pray, Jesus says, pray that you won't fall into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How do you kill sin? You confess it. You pray about it. Ask God to help you, and you wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You use the Word of God to defeat sin. You memorize it. You meditate on it. You might even choose Luke 12:15, which is a verse we've already looked at today. You might memorize this verse. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. You might memorize that verse and say, man, I got a problem with greed, but you know what? Every time I'm tempted to chase after shiny red things that I think are going to make me happy, I'm going to say this. Watch out, Nathan. Be on your guard, Nathan, against that. Your life, Nathan, does not consist in the abundance of those possessions. Your life is in Christ. That's the model Jesus gave for us. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the desert? That's what He did again and again. He used the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and Him alone. And through those, He was able to resist the evil one. The Scripture promises, resist the devil and he will flee with you. If you think you're being attacked by a greedy spirit, resist. Greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. You don't have to go on living in a greedy sort of way. You can be cleansed and changed and be continually renewed. That's the beauty of this passage. It talks about it in verse 10. You've taken off the old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You're getting renewed every day. As you read the Word of God, you're getting more knowledge about who God is and His beauty, and it's renewing your mind and thus renewing your hearts. You're being renewed as you talk to God and as you worship Him on a daily basis and begin to treasure Him as greater than all other things. Your mind and your heart are being renewed so that you love God more and are forsaking these things that are passing away. You're forsaking them more and more. Be renewed. Be renewed by your time at church. Come and spend time with the body of Christ. Go to your life group. Go to your Bible study group. Go to Awana. Memorize God's Word. Be with God's people. Continue renewing yourself by God's power so that you can be freed from sin. And guess what? This isn't just about greed, but that whole list and any sin that's in our lives. This is the process. We're to remember the gospel, set our hearts and minds on things above, put greed to death, and be continually renewed by God. So you can be free. I want to tell you the end of Dave's story that we started the service with this morning. Dave was 35 years old. He had two little girls making $300,000 a year, and all of a sudden his wife was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, and began the process of chemotherapy, and went to Stanford University, the best money can buy. He was going to go and get treatment for his wife. We're going to kill this thing because I've got the resources to take care of this thing. Got Stanford, went through several rounds of chemotherapy, and at some point in the process of the chemotherapy, her body began to react adversely to the chemotherapy, no longer just to the cancer, and she began to go septic in her body. And the doctor said, hey, you know, this sometimes happens with chemotherapy. We don't know, you know, there's a fine balance on how much you do and how much you don't do. And I need to tell you, I'm really sorry, but within the next 10 minutes to half an hour, I believe we're going to lose your wife. She's going to die. And so, you know, do what you need to do with your family or whatever else. And some people have been sharing the gospel with them, but man, he was focused on what money could buy and whatever else. And he said at that moment, he went into a little chapel and he just fell on his face and he said, God, I've got nothing left. I got nothing left. I'm going to submit myself to you. I know I've lived my life selfishly for myself. And oh, by the way, if you can do anything to save my wife, please. please save her. And by a miracle of God, they were able to save his wife. And at that point, he knew he was on the hook. His fire hole confession had to stick. And so he began to serve the Lord and got involved in a church. And his church was a church that takes a lot of mission trips all over the world. And he began to say, hey, listen, I can't live my life for what I used to live my life for before this whole thing started. And so they started to give stuff away to other people to go on mission trips. And then they started to go on them themselves and spend time with little kids in poor rural nations and help in medical clinics. And just got a hook for what God was doing around the world and how his life was so small before. And now God was opening up. And one day someone came to him after one of his mission trips. He goes, hey, have you ever thought about helping someone else with the business skills you have to raise money for kingdom purposes? He goes, no, but I'll try. And he helped one missionary to raise some money. And he said, I'm hooked. This is awesome. This is what God's created me to do. And so from then on, he said, I won't refuse anyone who comes to me to ask me for help in raising money for kingdom purposes. And so he teaches seminars now to mission organizations all across the world, helping people to raise money for kingdom purposes, taking some of the business skills he has and combining it with the promises of the Word of God and helping people to do great things for the Lord. Now, your story may not be exactly like Dave's story, but I want to tell you that you can be free from the greed that's in your heart. You can be free. And if you've got some some areas that the Lord has revealed to you by His Spirit this morning that you've understood, I've got a greedy heart. And don't go on thinking, well, that's just my downfall area. And that's just the way I struggle. No, man, attack it. attack it because Jesus is better by far. Attack it because God hates it. Attack it because the Spirit of God who lives within you says to you, this is no good. Go for it, and you can be free. And you know what? Living a life of freedom from greed is beautiful. It's beautiful when you can honestly say, God, easy come, easy go. Do with my resources what you want. I'm gonna live my life for this purpose, whether it makes me wealthy or whether we barely survive. I know you're going to take care of me and my family. I'm just going to live my life for you. That freedom is so awesome, to be able to be God's person, used by Him in the world, not feeling you have to control everything for yourself and gain it all for yourself and take care of everything yourself. There's freedom there, and that freedom can be yours in Jesus. Let's pray about that together. Oh, Father, thank you for Dave and his story. Thank you for your Scripture. Your Scripture that is so clear to us and convicts us and shows us where we have shortcomings and yet gives us hope. We know that you are greater. We know that you are strong enough to set us free from all this. So we submit ourselves to you this morning and ask for that freedom, believing you to do a work in us that's beyond all we can ask or imagine. We can't imagine being completely free, but Lord, in that process of renewal, we believe you can do it in us. We want to partner together with you in crucifying the sin of greed and in living more and more every day in the power of the Holy Spirit as generous, giving, loving people who trust you for all things and not in ourselves. We love you, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.